Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tetragon Financial Group conference call. All lines will be in a listen-only mode throughout the whole conference. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, simply press star then zero on your telephone. Just to remind you all that this conference call is being recorded today. I would now like to hand over to the chairperson today, Mr. David Wishnell, Principal of Tetragon Group. Please begin your meeting, sir, and I shall be standing by.
Thank you. As one of the principals of the investment manager of Tetragon Financial Group Limited, I'd like to welcome you all to our investor call. Today, we'll focus on Q3 2011 results and provide an update on business progress to date. The format of today's call will be similar to prior calls. Phil Bland, our CFO, will present Tetragon's Q3 results. I'll provide a quick overview on the portfolio and key performance metrics, capital distributions, dividends, and asset management businesses. And Jeff Herlin, also a principal, will provide CLO market color. To aid our investors, we will address questions we have received in the applicable portions of this call rather than at the end. I'd like to remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding the intentions, beliefs, or current expectations concerning performance and financial condition on the products and markets in which TFG invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of various possible events or factors. With that, let me now turn the call over to Phil.
Thanks so much, David, and can I extend my own welcome to our third quarter investor call. As usual, I'd like to start by providing some high-level comments on TFG's results for the quarter, which are contained in our recently published performance report, which also includes the unaudited financial statements for the first 9 months of the year. I'll endeavour to address several finance-related investor questions as I go through this section. Well, I have to say that TFG delivered a solid third quarter performance, our ninth successive quarter of positive earnings. EPS was 57 cents per share, which is equivalent to consolidated net income of $67.3 million, whilst cash generation from the CLO portfolio grew quarter on quarter to $105 million, and consolidated NAV per share, net of all fees, increased to $12.06, which represents a new high for TFG. Turning to the statement of operations, in general, the key drivers of performance were a continuation of the positive trends witnessed over the previous few quarters, namely that the CLOs mainly benefited from improvements in credit quality and structural strength, wider spreads on reinvested collateral, and the continuing benefit of LIBOR floors, particularly within the US portfolio. As a result, the IRRs on the portfolio moved up from a portfolio-weighted average level of 16.3% to 16.8%. Interest income from investments of close to $54 million, plus unrealized gains on investments of approximately $50.5 million, yielded a total investment return number of just over $104 million. Whilst this is lower than the previous quarter's figure of $117 million, in part due to unrealized losses in the quarter on the loan portfolio, this still represents a significant annualized gross return of approximately 33% on the fair value of investments under management. I'll now comment on the valuation of the CLO portfolio. As we've described in more detail in the Q3 quarterly report, the methodology for deriving our US GAAP compliant fair value of TFG's CLO portfolio involves two main steps. Firstly, we project future cash flows and calculate the IRR on each deal using a market standard modeling tool, which is independently populated with the current status of each deal and to which certain forward-looking assumptions are applied. With regard to the first modeling step, our key forward-looking assumptions, including defaults, recoveries, prepayments, and reinvestment prices, remain unchanged versus those used at the end of 2010 and the subsequent quarters. We continue to outperform those metrics on a portfolio basis, and David's going to discuss that in more detail later. We believe that the observable data both within the portfolio and externally, such as the outlook for defaults from rating agencies and others, continue to support the maintenance of our assumptions at the current levels, notwithstanding the uncertain and challenging macro environment. The result of step one is a set of undiscounted future expected cash flows, and these have remained largely unchanged quarter on quarter in dollar terms, even though we've actually received another quarter's cash, and despite the negative impact of a weakening euro versus the US dollar. In step two of our fair value process, we adjust the future cash flows resulting from step one using a discount rate, which we believe reflects an appropriate risk premium, which would be used by other market participants in the space. During the third quarter, observable spreads on the mezz tranches of CLOs saw a meaningful increase, although we believe the impact on CLO equity was much less marked. The combination of high cash returns and a low yield environment suggest to us that CLO equity may have weathered the volatility on average better than the mezz tranches, and we therefore did not see the risk premium on CLO equity increasing in line with the mezz. As a result, TFG's discount rates were maintained at 20% for the stronger deals and 25% for the remainder. With the continuations of deals generally strengthening in Q3, reflected in higher actual OC ratios compared to expected OC ratios, a net of four transactions migrated into the stronger category and so had the lower discount rate applied to them. And this resulted in a fair value increase of around $2.7 million. With approximately 90% by value of the deals now in the stronger category, the weighted average discount rate has fallen slightly, but it's still in the order of approximately 21%. Generally speaking, if the discount rate's higher than a deal's IRR, the fair value of that deal will be below its amortized cost and vice versa. The difference between the total amortized cost and the fair value, which we calculate on a deal-by-deal basis, is what we've described as the ALR fair value adjustment, or ALR in short, which we've explained in some detail on prior calls and various investor publications. In Q3, IRRs generally increased, as I mentioned before, closer to the weighted average discount rate, and thus the ALR reduced on a portfolio basis by approximately $16 million from $133.8 million to $118 million. Just to finish off the section on the valuation, I just want to touch briefly on the final part of our valuation procedures. And that's the part where we check our resulting values against observable market prices where they're available. As I've mentioned on previous calls, the fair values of our own CLO deals cover a broad span, and that reflects the range of individual deals' performance levels and the vintage of the deals. Indeed, the dispersion of the performance may become increasingly relevant in the coming years as older vintage deals reach the end of their reinvestment period. As I've also mentioned on prior calls, market data for our paper continues to be patchy, and in the quarter, observable BWIC activity fell off quite sharply, so not helpful. Our average carrying cost across the US CLO portfolio, which accounts for about over 86% of the portfolio by fair value, was approximately 76 cents at the end of Q3, which is unchanged from the end of the previous quarter. In the first half of 2011, TFG's modeled average prices may reasonably have been viewed as being conservative compared with certain observable average data points. Even if there was some recent evidence that CLO equity prices on average softened a little during the quarter, we remain of the view that TFG's CLO values are comfortably within a reasonable range. Turning now from valuation to other aspects of the operating performance of the company, operating expenses, including performance fees and taxes on LTM's results, totaled $33.3 million, representing approximately 33% of total income and gains, which represents a small increase compared with the 29% that we saw in Q2, and the details provided in the financial statements. Turning now to cash flows, on which we receive regular investor questions. In Q3, the cash generated by the CLO portfolio continued to improve, reflecting the strong underlying performance of the portfolio, which David will provide additional color on later. I mentioned earlier on that total cash receipts from the CLO portfolio were approximately $105.1 million, and that equates to 89 cents per weighted average share, which was a continuation of the recent pattern of increasing cash flow generation through the quarters. Whilst cash receipts will not necessarily be even quarter on quarter, we currently expect that absent any material market or macroeconomic disruptions, cash flows from the CLO portfolio in the second half of the year in total will be similar to and probably stronger than the cash received over the first 6 months of 2011. Turning away now from the CLO portfolio to LCM's financial performance, taking into account all LCM managed vehicles, the gross income for Q3 for LCM totaled $4.4 million, compared to an average quarterly income in 2010 of approximately $3.2 million, as the fees from LCM 9 came online. Pre-tax profit for the entire LCM business, of which TFG owns 75%, was approximately $2.2 million as of the same period. Absent any CLO issuance in Q4, we currently expect this figure to be largely unchanged in the quarter. David's going to be commenting on other more general LCM developments later in the call. So in summary for this section, we and the board are very pleased with the financial results for the quarter and indeed for the year so far. The drivers of performance have continued to center on strong earnings from strengthening deals and growth in cash generation from the portfolio and from LCM, against a backdrop of generally improving credit fundamentals, mixed, of course, with some macro uncertainty. And Jeff will consider the outlook in more detail later in the call. But with that, I shall now pass to David.
Thanks, Phil. Let me now quickly run you through a few portfolio and performance metrics, as well as discuss the dividend, stock buyback program, and TFG's asset management businesses. The CLO portfolio consists of 75 transactions spread across 67 specific deals. The number of external CLO managers stands at 27 as of quarter end, while the estimated total fair value of TFG's CLO investment portfolio was approximately $1.139 billion, down from approximately $1.15 billion as of the end of Q2. This reduction in the total fair value primarily reflects the return of principal and not a loss of value. On a look-through basis, this represents exposure to leveraged loans through our CLO investments of approximately $18.3 billion par value, spread over approximately 1,620 different corporate obligors, the substantial majority of which are U.S. names, with the balance being European. Additionally, as of September 30th, TFG's direct holdings of bank loans increased to an aggregate par amount of approximately $117 million and total fair value of approximately $110.3 million, up from approximately $98.4 million as of the end of the prior quarter. Although we believe the underlying business performed well during the quarter, the loan portfolio did trade down alongside the overall loan market. No defaults were registered in the loan portfolio during that period. For the quarter, no net realized gains were generated, leaving the year-to-date net realized gains at approximately $0.6 million. From inception through the end of Q3, the direct loan portfolio generated approximately $1.7 million of net realized gains. In addition, the portfolio earned $1.3 million of interest income and discount premium during the third quarter, bringing this year's total amount to $4.3 million. Since inception, the direct loan portfolio has earned $7 million of interest income and discount premium. As we've done in Q3, we expect to continue to selectively deploy capital into direct loans when appropriate and leverage the expertise of the LCM team in this regard when possible. With respect to the CLO and loan portfolio composition, approximately 73.3% of risk capital is invested in U.S. broadly syndicated loans, 12.3% in European loans, and 14.3% in U.S. middle market loans. We continue to hold hedges against our Euro FX principal risk on a rolling basis, though have no direct credit hedges on the portfolio. We also hold certain inflation protection hedges designed to provide the portfolio protection if we should face such an environment. While our unrealized and realized hedging program resulted in a $7.1 million loss for Q3, over the past four quarters, this program has only cost TFG approximately $600,000. We review our hedging strategy on an ongoing basis as we seek to mitigate, in a cost-effective manner, identifiable risks to the extent possible. In the future, our hedging strategy may include the use of single-name or index credit hedges as well. I'd like to now update you on some key performance metrics that we remain focused on. TFG's lagging 12-month corporate loan default rate, which includes both European and U.S. CLO investments, continued to decrease, falling to 0.6% annualized at the end of Q3 from 0.8% annualized in Q2. The 12-month lagging institutional U.S.-only loan default rate fell to 0.3% as reported by S&P. As of the end of Q3 2011, 98% of TFG's CLO investments were passing their most junior OC tests, weighted by fair value. When measured on a percentage of transaction basis, 64 deals, or 96% of the company's CLO investments, were passing their most junior OC tests. Both of the foregoing statistics were unchanged from the end of the prior quarter. TFG's U.S. CLOs, representing 86% of the overall fair value through Q3, continued to perform very well, with 100% by both fair value and number of transactions passing their most junior OC tests. In comparison, the market-wide average of U.S. CLOs estimated to be passing their most junior OC tests at quarter end was approximately 94%. At the end of Q3, the weighted average percentage of corporate obligors rated triple C or below fell to 7% from 7.2% at the end of Q2. In comparison, the Q2 market-wide median triple C asset holdings of U.S. CLOs were estimated to be 7.4%. Also of note, TFG's weighted average rating factor is slightly lower at 2,614 versus 2,642 at the end of Q2. Now I'd like to turn to our asset management businesses. As we've previously reported, we continue to look to expand our asset management businesses and over time develop the company into a more broadly diversified financial services firm. We believe that doing so will strengthen TFG's income streams and ultimately create value for TFG shareholders. We believe that the purchase of interests in LCM and Green Oak have opened new avenues for investments for the company across a variety of asset classes. As always, market conditions, opportunities, and potential returns will inform how and where we invest TFG's capital. As Phil has already noted, LCM's operating results and financial performance remained strong throughout Q3, with all senior and subordinated CLO management fees on LCM cash flow CLOs current as of September 30th. TFG continues to leverage and benefit from the LCM team's expertise in the ongoing management of the company's direct loan investment portfolio. We will also continue to look for opportunities with other investment programs and vehicles that could utilize LCM's capabilities. We've received some questions on the Green Oak business. Green Oak continues to build its team and execute on its business and growth strategy, including investment management and advisory engagements. TFG has funded a small portion of its investment capital commitments, approximately $1.5 million through quarter end, covering TFG's share of recent investments in Japan and the U.S., which relate to larger investment commitments, which will be drawn as investment opportunities warrant. We continue to view Green Oak as a medium-term investment. Let me now turn to the dividend and stock buyback. On the back of a solid quarter's results, TFG announced a dividend of 10 cents per share for Q3, in line with Q2, which itself was a step up from 9 cents in Q1. The board continues to believe that the dividend is an important consideration for investors, and it is an important tool to return value to investors, alongside, for example, the share buyback program, and furthering TFG's investments in asset management capabilities. A few comments on the share buyback program. As we've mentioned previously, we have renewed the share buyback program as of November 1st. To date, we have purchased over 15 million shares at an average purchase price of approximately $5 per share. This represents a total consideration of over $75 million afforded to shareholders. Such purchases at appropriate price levels below NAV represent an attractive use of TFG's excess cash and an efficient means to return cash to shareholders. We also believe that the share buyback program is helpful in providing liquidity in TFG shares. Let me now hand the call over to Jeff to provide some color on the present loan and CLO market conditions.
Thanks, Dave. Currently, TFG's loan CLO portfolio is benefiting from a combination of higher loan spreads and low default rates. Considering our low financing levels of approximately LIBOR plus 50 basis points matched back in 2005 through 7, this situation is producing a high level of cash and mid to high teens IRRs on most of our individual CLOs. Looking forward, will this environment continue? That question is difficult to answer as it incorporates many forward-looking thoughts on the economy and the loan market in which we primarily participate. But let's try to examine some of the components that one would consider including in such an analysis. Asset spreads. Currently, loan spreads are above average historical levels, and there are several factors that suggest they may remain so for the near future. First, global economic uncertainty has led market participants to generally price in a significant risk premium into credit spreads. This is evident in the senior loan market, with spreads approximately 250 basis points wider than average levels in spite of the current low default rate. Secondly, the low level of nominal interest rates has on average made LIBOR floors a mainstay in the pricing of new issue loans. We estimate that 95% of new issue senior bank loans since March of 2010 have included LIBOR floors of approximately 125 to 150 basis points, which may, all else being equal, add approximately 100 to 125 basis points to the actual current spread. And lastly, regulatory changes being discussed that may increase the amount of capital for banks to hold against their senior loan asset portfolio may help to keep spreads higher going forward as banks may demand higher yields in order to achieve their targeted return levels. On the loan asset turnover front, while down from the second quarter, loan turnover is still running higher than average at approximately 28% per annum. This level may continue as loans continue to reprice and prepay as the high-yield bond market currently offers borrowers a low long-term fixed-rate alternative to the floating bank loan market, and M&A activity continues with relatively low corporate valuations. On default levels, corporate balance sheets generally remain in healthy condition in a defensive mode with leverage on the declining trend and cash levels often near all-time highs. Obviously, economic conditions will ultimately determine the impact that potential loan losses may have on our portfolio. However, currently U.S. corporate balance sheets remain in solid condition and appear poised to weather a potential mild downturn in economic growth. On CLO structural strength, the ability of our CLO portfolio to weather higher than expected loss levels is potentially bolstered by the near-term outlook of high net interest margins and increasing overall collateral cushions. As we have outlined previously, widening asset spreads may potentially serve as an organic hedge against higher loan losses as the higher net interest margin associated with higher loan yields against previously matched liability spreads create a larger cushion to absorb potentially higher than expected asset losses. On the new issue CLO market front, the arbitrage, or simply the differential between loan asset yields and current liability financing, in the new issue CLO market has been volatile lately as both asset spreads and liability pricing have moved up and down significantly, but often not at the same time. Thus, we believe that the new issue CLO market CLOs are being completed on an opportunistic basis when the arbitrage produces a mid-teens return to the equity tranche. Given the volatile nature of both components of this arbitrage, we expect new issue CLO volume to remain low in the near term until volatility settles down. We would expect, if the terms of a deal warrant, to be a part of this opportunistic issuance as the combination of our LCM loan management team and TFG's majority equity participation allow us to move quickly to market when the arbitrage window opens. In summary, while the future is very difficult to predict, there are a number of positive influences that our CLO portfolio is currently enjoying, and these influences may prove to help offset any potential increase in credit losses that may arise from a future downturn in the U.S. or global economy. As well, loan spreads remain wide to historical levels, and opportunistic new issue CLO participation can potentially produce attractive equity returns. Let me now hand it back to David for conclusion.
Thanks, Jeff. Before we close the call, just a quick update on the ongoing litigation. We did receive a question regarding the recently filed derivative action in the United States District Court, Southern District of New York. The ongoing legal proceedings, unfortunately, limit our ability to comment on the matter. However, we can report that since our last update, defendants have moved to dismiss the case in its entirety, and those motions are fully briefed and pending with the court for a decision. We'd like to thank everyone for joining. As always, please do not hesitate to contact us with any further questions. We look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.